Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Pastor Farrell Shepherd of the Island Ford Baptist Church in Madisonville, Kentucky, and I'd like to welcome you to another Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast. This broadcast is for Monday, July 30th, next to the last day of July. We're glad to be here behind the radio mic making these announcements and making these broadcasts. Hope you had a great weekend and a great week. Last week as we were gone, I want to report that we were in Fishersville, Virginia. The Lord blessed and allowed me to be able to preach three times that week in the services, and on Thursday night had a young man get saved. Praise God. Had a young lady get saved on Monday night before I got there, and then I preached Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday night, and that young man got saved on Thursday night, and I praise God for it. Not that I had anything to do with it, just God used me to be one of the sowers or the waterers of the Word of God. Amen. And the young man got saved. I praise God for that. And then God brought us back home safely, and we're thankful for that. Thankful that the Lord has blessed and helped as He has. I mentioned this morning as we opened up with the Harmony and Eggs Morning Show about prayer for Sister Louise Wilson as she was going to have surgery today. She did have the surgery. They were able to do it all with one surgery. They were able to flush out the other gallstone, and she was in recovery. Last I talked to Brother Shelby, her husband, and things are going good. So we're planning on seeing her this evening, and thank God she's doing well. Appreciate your prayers, and I hope that you'll continue to pray for her in her recovery. Also for Brother Herford, as he has eye surgery again today or something done on that to tweak that. Pray that God would bless and help there. I haven't heard from him yet, but I pray everything goes well there as well. Well, let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer at this time. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for your goodness, grace, and mercy. Thank you for saving us by your grace. If nothing else, if there's never another blessing, that'd be enough for us to shout through eternity that we've been saved by the grace of God. But Lord, you've done so much more. We truly have been blessed. I want to thank you for helping Miss Louise, bringing her through her surgery well. Thank you, dear God, for helping Brother Herford. Pray you continue to help both of them in their recovery time. Thank you for helping Mrs. Hall feel better today. I pray help her as well. Strengthen and meet the needs there that they have. Lord, I pray be with the Coons while they're on a little vacation with their family. Bless and help in that. Father, please use the program today. I pray that some soul might be touched with the Word of God. Good seed might fall in some good soil, that it might bring forth a good harvest to the glory of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that you would anoint it now and use it for your glory. Lord, I pray for others that we know of that sick and afflicted and different problems going on. Would you meet their needs? I pray you'd help and mend homes together and have your way in those things as well. We thank you. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. And amen. Well, I sure do appreciate you praying with us. We're going to go to a song by the Shepherd family and then the message from Malachi chapter number 2 and the first part of chapter number 3. Then we're going to be digging on in a little bit more into chapter number 3 on the broadcast for this week. I'm actually going to play two different messages this week out of the book of Malachi. The first one will be today, tomorrow, and Wednesday. And then Thursday and Friday will be a second message of this week out of the book of Malachi as well. But hope these are a blessing to you. First of all, we got the Shepherd family singing a good song that I believe will be a blessing. A song entitled, I Have Been Blessed.
Malachi chapter number 2, verse 17. Amen. The Bible says, ye have wearied the Lord with your words. Yet ye say, wherein have we wearied him? When you say, everyone that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delighteth in them. Or, where is the God of judgment? Verse 1 of chapter 3. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. Would you jump down with me to verse 13? Still in chapter 3, verse 13. Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, what have we spoken so much against thee? Ye have said, it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the proud happy. Yea, they that work wickedness are set up. Yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. We're dealing with this thought, where is the God of judgment? And these verses that I read in the latter part of my reading, there, verses 13 through 15, are just a manifestation of that question. They're saying, Where is God? Where are His blessings on those of us trying to do right? Where is His blistering on those that are not trying to do right? That's really what they're saying. They're saying, where is God in this world? Where is God in my day, the day I'm living in? Where is God? And so they're asking the question, where is the God of judgment? And if you remember, we talked about, we're in the section, the last section of the book, chapters 3 and 4, deal with the coming of the Lord. He said, I will send my messenger. Amen. And I'm glad Jesus has come and is coming. Amen. And Malachi saw both of those comings. He saw it all as one, but he saw the coming and he mentions that. And I'm not going to go into the things about it again that we've touched on already, but I will say that we mentioned in the first 15 verses of chapter 3 dealing with this situation of that he's coming to judge or to deal in judgment with sinners. I said he's coming for two reasons. He's coming to deal in judgment with sinners, and he's going to come to deal in justice with the saints. But these first 15 verses of chapter 3 deal with his judging the sinners. And we've looked at these verses already, verses 1 through 6. We saw God dealing with their ungodly actions. Then we saw verses 7 through 12, God dealing with their ungodly attitudes. By the way, the reason your actions are wrong is because your attitude's wrong.
Right. Right.
Belief affects behavior. Amen. What you believe will affect how you behave.
Right.
And so their attitude affected their actions. Now we're going to get down to this part where he's dealing in judgment with sinners on the third point, and that is their ungodly arguments. They were arguing with God. It's amazing to me. When you read these verses, just look at me again. In verse number 13, that's all I'm going to deal with today. By the help of the Lord, I'm going to stay with verse 13. The Lord willing, come back and look at 14 and 15. But verse number 13, the Lord said, your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, what have we spoken so much against thee? God said, you keep arguing with me. And they said, we're not arguing with you. He said, you're rebelling against me. They said, we're not rebelling against you. I mean, that's really the, and by the way, that's the attitude of the world today. They're guilty of sin, and yet they say, we're not sinning. Nothing wrong with what we're doing. Amen. And I guess it probably is this way, that people have developed their own morality based on what they can accept and what they can't accept. Anything beyond their point is bad, but up to what, and by the way, they can live up to their point, so it's not bad. Amen.
That's right.
Amen. And of course they can say, well, I'm not as bad as so-and-so. I measure up to this standard. I measure up to my standard. I remember a story of a little boy that came in to his mama and he told his mama, he said, mama, I made me a measuring stick. And he had a measuring stick and he went, instead of 12 inches being a foot, 6 inches was a foot. And he told his mama, he said, I'm 9 foot tall, mama. And he was by his measuring stick. But his measuring stick wasn't the official measuring stick. Amen. We've got a King James Bible, which is the official measuring stick. Amen. Amen. That's right. And we're going to have to measure up to it or fall short. Amen. And when we fall short, we're going to need mercy. We're going to need some help from the Lord. Amen. And so we've looked at these arguments. Now, we're looking today at the argument. We've looked at his dealing with their sins, their actions, and their attitudes as we've gone by. Verse 13 starts with their ungodly arguments. Now, I mentioned that he took umbrage with their works and their ways. Now he's taking umbrage with their words. What they're saying offends him. Amen. This statement from the Lord could very easily be applied to the summary of Israel. Brother Vincent said it this morning, and he's so right, that you read through the book of Judges, there's a wheel that just keeps rolling around. One day they're on the top, and before you know it, they're back on the bottom again. And they'll start back around, they're on top, and they're back on the bottom. And it keeps going that way through the book of Judges, but through all the history of Israel, that's the way that it's been. Amen. And we can see that not only in the history of Israel, but we can see it in our society even today. The condition of many hearts today are like the condition of these hearts. They're murmuring, they're complaining, and they're accusing God in their hearts, in their thought. If you work in public today, you hear people grumbling and grousing all the time. Amen. They can give you a raise on the job and somebody will complain that it wasn't enough. Or it should have been last week or last month. Amen. It seems like they're always grumbling and complaining. We are living in a day of complaining. Amen. But can I say this? Complaining is not nearly as bad as cursing. Those are stout words. That's what God said here. They're stout words. It's one thing to be dissatisfied with your station or situation with men and with women. But it's another thing to bring God into the equation and to bring God's name into the complaint. Amen. You've definitely crossed the line when you bring God's name into the complaint. I believe that's right. Exodus chapter number 20 and verse number 7 says, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain." Amen. God is going to judge those that misuse his name. Whereas God should be thanked for his blessings. Amen. God should be praised for his mercy. God should be reverenced for his holiness. But irreverence causes men and women to blaspheme God's name. They curse. By the way, let me say this. It's bad enough to hear men curse, but it's such a disgrace to hear women curse. Such a disgrace to hear children cursing. Amen. But we're living in a day not just of complaining, but a day of cursing. Today there's a constant use of profanity in worldly music, in modern novels and television, movies, comedy acts, talk shows. There's just a constant, seems to me, barrage of profanity, of sacrilegious things, of ungodly things being said about our God. Amen. It is as if most people would seek to do as much damage as they can to the holy name of God. Amen. They want to throw as much mud, they want to throw as much dirt and misrepresent the name of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. God said, "Your word's been stout against me." Some people have been duped into using sanctified, I put that in quotes, sanctified profanities. They refer to or reflect upon a misuse of God's name. They wouldn't openly do so, amen. They wouldn't openly use such defiant statements as GD. I won't say those words, you know what it's talking about. They won't say that or say things like "by God," but they might say "by gosh." It's the same thing. They might say "God" and not add the other end of it, and that's the same using profanity. Or how about "by golly"? That's all sanctified, quote unquote, sanctified cursing, amen. Instead of saying Jesus Christ, by the way, it is one thing to blaspheme the name of God, but His darling Son that shed His blood, when we'll trample His blood underfoot and we'll blaspheme the precious name, that name that's above every name, when we'll blaspheme that name, we're in big trouble. Amen? Jesus Christ has become a curse word in our society. Amen? Amen. Maybe you wouldn't say that. They'll maybe just shorten it to just Jesus. But I'm telling you, those are words you ought not use in that frame. You're taking the name of the Lord God in vain. Amen. Hey, here's the sanctified version. Just say, "Gee." Did you know that's a sanctified version of saying Jesus? Jeez. That's where it came from, by the way. Jeez or jeez. I looked those words up, by the way, on the computer. And under dictionary.reference.com, it says that "G" first appeared in 1890 or 1895, and "G's" first appeared in 1922. And here's what it says. He said, "These words are admitted as corruptions of the name of Jesus." Corrupting the name of Jesus. I don't believe God's going to take that lightly, do you? Amen. Now, most people have grown accustomed to hearing cursing. Grown accustomed to hearing mild profanity. Amen. So that it probably doesn't bother us, but I'm going to tell you it bothers somebody. And that's the man whose name they're calling. Amen. That's the God whose name they're trying to damage. He takes notice. He said He will not hold them guiltless that take His name in vain. Amen. I'm telling you, it seems like people think nothing of it. But God said, "I've been paying attention." Look at verse 13. He said, "Your words..." He'd been noticing what their words were. Right. Not just noticing where this going, not just noticing what they were doing, but noticing what they were saying. Amen. "Your words have been stout against me. And thus saith the Lord." Well, it would do us good to remember that God's keeping track of our words. And He's going to call us into an account one day of the usage of those words. Amen. Matthew chapter number 12, verses number 36 and 37. Jesus said, "But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, They shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Amen. Now, some years ago, people got all upset that the NSA is keeping record of our cell phone talking. They're keeping record of what's being said over the internet through emails and things like that. And we got upset that the government is, quote unquote, spying on American people. I'm telling you, we probably don't know the half of it. Amen. But there's somebody bigger than the NSA, and that's the G-O-D. Amen? God's keeping a record, not just what's said over electronics, but what's said in idle talk, in the secret place. Amen? God's keeping a record of all that. Amen? Look again at our verse number 13. Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord, yet ye say, what have we spoken so much against thee? God declares that their words have been stout. That word appears in the King James Bible, the Hebrew word that's translated stout, is in the King James Bible in the Old Testament 290 times. Amen. It has a lot of different translations in the English of the King James Bible. I want to look at a few of these, and that'll help us understand what he's talking about when he says stout. We don't use that word a lot. We still use it some, and I think most of us would understand it. But the first appearance of that word is in Genesis chapter number 19. You remember what happened in Genesis 19? God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. And in that, God sent two angels down there to get Lot and his family out. And if you remember, when they got ready to go out, Lot and his family tarried behind, and those angels had to take them by the hand and physically remove them, amen, from that city. The word that said they laid hold on them is in verse number 16 of Genesis 19 is the same word translated stout here. It is a power of an angel that grabbed the hand of a man and grabbed the hand of a woman and physically removed them from the judgment that was about to fall. And God said, your words are grabbing hands, and your words are moving people, and your words are doing things that are against me. Stout words. That idea of laying hold. Amen. And then there's another thing here. By the way, let me say this. Those words, that idea, they seized their hands. They grabbed their hands. They laid hold. Those words, curse words, are intended to seize. Amen. Most of us remember, or at least remember having heard about, the first time curse words were ever heard on a movie, and it was Gone with the Wind. You remember that? Amen. And they issued a curse word. And I'm telling you, it got people's attention. Now they say that word and words worse than that on a daily basis. I mean, on a routine basis. Amen. It has lost its seizing power. But here's where I'm going. It may not seize your attention, but it seizes his. Amen. God said, I heard what you said. Amen. And I want to do something about what you said. There's another time this word's used. It's not the second time, but there's another time that it's used down in Genesis chapter number 41, verses 56 through 57. And he's talking about the famine that was in the land of Egypt. And the famine that exceeded went on up into the land of Canaan. And it said that famine or that drought was very sore. That's the word that he used. Very sore. And it's the same word translated stout here. So he's talking about the depth of that destruction. It was in that drought in that day. Amen. And when people use these words, they're using them to be severe. He's talking about how severe that drought was. He's talking about how harsh that famine was. And they're using these words to be severe. And they're using these words to be harsh words. Amen. Jesus declared he's going to judge us according to our words. I'll ask you this. Would it stand to reason that if we'd use gracious words, we might get a gracious judgment? But if we use harsh words, we might expect a harsh judgment.
And that's all the time we have for today's broadcast. It would do us good to think a little bit about how we're judging others. Are we producing strict, harsh judgment? Or are we showing a little mercy? Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. That's what our Lord Jesus said. Amen. James talks about that if we're going to expect to receive any mercy, we've got to show a little mercy. Amen. Well, thank God for the mercy of God. Hope you'll plead to God for mercy on your behalf. Hope you'll tune in this same time every Monday through Friday for another Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast. Until then, this is Pastor Farrell Shepherd saying good day and God bless you.